In the aftermath of World War II, the world's remaining superpowers delve deep into the human potential movement and a 60-year campaign to create real-life super soldiers. America's quest combined a shady mixture of drugs, secret technology, and even Nazi science. Like so many conspiracies, the true story turns out to be stranger and scarier than comic book fiction. The Conspiracy Beer Me Boys, Shane and Justin, are joined by Hummies VR comedy star Mark Brady as they wander through the strangest of tales. Join us for a live worldwide event on Thursday, March 2nd at 8 p.m. Get tickets at moment.co/CBM. Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin.
I'm Shane.
And you are listening to the podcast that is making conspiracies fun again.
Yes.
Today, our topic, the fix is in.
Oh, good. I love fixing stuff.
The NFL is scripted.
Oh, it's like wrestling. I love this.
Yeah, man.
Oh.
You cracked Pot the case
over.
Already. Yeah,
oh, this is great. Good.
We have so many things going on. Not only are we drinking beer, we'll tell you what beer we're drinking.
Yeah, this is exciting. Yeah, we're doing dry January.
It's over.
Oh, thank God.
And then in about a month, less than a month away, we are going to do our very first ever Conspiracy Beer Me live stream.
With Moment. It's going to be real exciting.
Moment.co/CBM. Yep. Tickets go on sale.
Today. Yeah, for 48 hours. Normally they're $10. For 48 hours, you can get them for
$7.50. So when you hear this, you've missed your chance to get them for $7.50.
No.
Oh, no.
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 Why?
Oh, because it starts when this comes out.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, good job. When you hear this.
Yeah, yeah. I did a lot of planning to make that happen. Jesus Christ.
I'm an idiot.
Okay, we got to go back to dry January.
Okay. Also, if you're not a patron, we had a great trip up to the Cryptozoology and Paranormal Museum in Littleton, Colorado.
Yeah.
Littleton, North Carolina. I haven't had anything to drink in so long.
You said that too, and we sat down with them. You're like, you said Colorado when we were interviewing.
There's a Littleton, Colorado that I went mountain biking it. Okay. And so, yeah, check them out. Check it. If you're not a patron, it's definitely worth it. I'll also be posting some fun videos of creepy dolls and other stuff. He's got a thing in his museum, which I think is really weird, but there's like this, some piece of farm equipment that somebody used to kill themselves, and now it's haunted. And
yeah.
And that thing is really creepy.
It's creepy. Some dude hung himself from a giant rope off a crane. A construction crane, and they were just like, can you just take this off my property? It's like... It's like what a weird way to collect stuff.
Yeah. Well, speaking of collecting stuff, very excited.
Yeah.
That we have now collected our first official beer sponsor, and we couldn't be happier.
Yeah, I'm really stoked.
Conspiracy Beer Me is now brought to you by Hopfly Brewing, out of Rocky Mount and Charlotte, North Carolina. They brew amazing beers. I am drinking a Crunch Time Lager.
Pretty good.
Delicious.
Nice. I'm drinking a Topo El Tiempo. Is that correct? Todo. Oh, I fucked it up already. Todo El Tiempo.
All the time.
That's what that means?
That's what that means.
I don't
all
speak
the time.
Spanish. It's a Mexican style amber lager.
You said it really well. I thought maybe
It's confidence. I'm like ChatGPT. You just say it with confidence and people believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is delicious.
It's so good.
And it's tall boys. I like
the way this all came to be is because we wanted a beer sponsor, and a good friend of ours, comedian out of Rocky Mount, the eastern part of North Carolina, hosts incredible shows down there at a place called Brewmasters. Happens to work for Hopfly, which also means that he's our guest here today. Please welcome to the show, Matt Dameron.
Hey, good to be here.
And you're drinking the Todo El Tiempo as well.
Yes.
Now, what is your favorite of the... Let me ask you this way, because most breweries, including Hopfly, they have your kind of yearly beers that you can get, and then you got your specialties. Of the yearly beers, what's the one you find?
Yearly beers. Well, Crunch Time's the only beer that we'll have around, like, year-round, so that's always a go-to.
Your IPAs are all seasonal.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, we started re-releasing some of our, like, beach beer, which is a kind of a highly rated IPA we do. So we've been doing a summer one and then a winter one.
That's cool.
So it's the same recipe, just different design on the can.
Oh, that's okay. You know? That's fun, though. So, keep it fresh.
A little inside baseball.
Yeah.
It's not year-round, but, I mean, the can's not year-round.
Well, that's fine. I mean,
it's like a beach with snow on it, you know. So
I love it.
We have a can over here from an unnamed brewery, but it's got – they changed theirs up in it. This year it's – or this couple years ago it was snowflakes on the can, but they're made out of sex toys.
Wait, those snowflakes are?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's a good one. Oh, did I leave that at my house? Maybe it's not on the shelf. I don't know. But, yeah.
Man, well, that's the canning is a big deal in brewing.
Sure, yeah.
Now, you guys have a coconut stout. Is that right? I'm coconut looking forward stout, to trying that one.
Rehydration.
Yeah, that looks great. Yeah.
Yeah, we do so many beers, it's unbelievable. So it's hard to keep up with them.
I'm sure.
Most people probably don't know this because Rocky Mount, North Carolina is not a household name for our listeners.
Right, right.
But it's somewhat of a beer
brewing. We're always in the news.
We're always
in the news for murder.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We do that well.
You guys do kill a lot of people down there.
Yeah.
But you guys have had a renaissance that's been some sense fueled by the brewery industry. You guys
Capital brewery. Broadcasting. Yeah, bought an old cotton mill. It was actually burned down in the 1800s by the Union Army.
Oh, wow.
Rebuilt Bastards. Back in at a brick. Yeah, it's old cotton gin, and there's a bunch of breries there. So it's all open.
How many total are there?
Oh, Coy Pond Brewing, Tarbor Brewing West, Mythic Brewing, Hot Fly Brewing, and there's a bunch of other breweries that Spaceway Brewing, which is beside Hot Fly Brewing. Yeah.
Is there any correlation between the number of breweries and the number of murders? Did the murders go up? The more drunk people went.
Well, if you're listening, you know there's a little tiny house hotel there that's really cool. You got to check it out because it's essentially like the old, you know, like cotton mill workers' houses, right? They're these tiny. They've turned into a boutique little hotel, so you can go there and just get totally drunk. And then just walk back to your...
Stumble back.
Yep. Good food. So like that. And then you put on shows there, but also in the eastern part of North Carolina. We call it Down East.
Down East. Yep.
Here in Raleigh, we say Down East.
There used to be a Down East festival in Rocky Mount.
Yeah,
it used to be a big one.
So you've been down there, and you've been kind of holding down that part of the state in terms of comedy, and you've been able to bring in some really big names. I think you've had... did you have Joe List.
Nice.
Mark Norman.
Mark Norman.
Chris Porter.
Yeah.
David Lucas, which he'll be coming back March 8th.
And I think you're having...
Hasn't been announced yet, but...
Oh, well, there it is. It's announced.
There it is. Yeah. It'll be announced Wednesday.
And podcast, so I think you're having Steve Gillespie on soon.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Steve, who was our guest recently as well. So really good comedy in the eastern part of North Carolina, which we'd love to see. Yep.
Good crowds.
Great crowds.
Hungry for comedy. Love coming out. So it's a little... I don't know. It's, sometimes it gets exhausting doing it.
Producing.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So I've definitely scaled back. I think I did 25 shows last year. And I was it's a little much.
So,
I'm scaling back this year.
Good, yeah.
and then, you know, it's tough. You told us before we started recording that your father was a East Carolina Pirate football player.
Yes, he was, back in the 70s.
Nice.
Yep. Drafted into the NFL, but did not end up playing for the NFL.
Two preseasons with the Houston Oilers. Yeah.
They're not even the Oilers aren't even around anymore.
It's the Tennessee Titans now.
No, they're Titans.
Yep. Oh, okay, yep. Yeah.
Yeah, so... So I would take it to some degree you are planning on watching Super Bowl LVII this weekend.
I'll be watching.
They're really sticking with the Roman numerals.
Hard to go back once you start.
Yeah, but I mean, is there anything else that really is committed to the Roman numerals at this point?
I mean,
I feel like we could kill it off if we could just get them to...
The only thing I can think of is a failed empire, but other than that, no.
Well, that's 57. Super Bowl 57. It's a between the Kansas... I know Shane and many of our listeners know nothing about football, nothing about sports, and in some regards, you love this podcast because we never talk about it, but we have to because it's big in the news right now in the conspiracy world.
Yeah.
Because the Kansas City Chiefs are playing the Philadelphia Eagles. And we're going to get a chance to... You don't have any idea who's going to win.
Not right now, but I bet Vince McMahon might.
Well, you're going to have a good guess by the end of this pod.
Hell yeah.
Because as we approach the end of the NFL season, controversy abounds.
Okay.
And a familiar conspiracy has resurfaced, which is essentially that the NFL is rigged. Mm. It's scripted.
Okay.
And it's due to the fact that there have been, one, a series of very questionable calls by referees. Head-scratching calls. Not the referee made a mistake call, but what? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Right. And it's not because I think oftentimes we play armchair quarterback. Is that the phrase? We play armchair sideline ref, and we can see things they don't see, you know, because we get the replays and we get other things. And it's not because of that. It's more just like these are just calls that are so stupid, even the replay wouldn't, like, fix it.
We're going to talk more about that point in a little bit, but I think when you say we have the ability to armchair referee and see replays, so do they now.
Do they?
That's what's so baffling about
okay.
it. It's not like they don't have the same technology, so when they say, yeah, that call is going to stand, we're not going to go back and adjust for the obvious missed call, then it starts to sound like someone's in the booth.
Sure.
Perhaps. And we'll talk about what some of those calls were.
Okay.
But there's also been some recent comments that have reignited it. Now, Matt, you'll know this. Shane, you won't. But officiating has always been bad, right? If you lose, it's always sort of like the officials, you know, people love to blame.
Oh, yeah. I've seen plenty officials. Of TikToks. Yeah, about that. Yeah, he's yelling at refs on the soccer field. And,
yeah.
Like, you dummy, and then stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they make a lot of money.
Yeah.
But in some regards, I think they'd have to make a lot of money. I mean, how much would it take for you to be, like, knowing what they go through, how much money would you have to be paid to go do that?
To have integrity?
Have integrity, but also just realize that, like, I'm a fallible human being, and right. if for some reason I miss a hole which costs somebody a playoff berth, that I'm going to get hate mail. I'm going to get death threats.
Sports fans are crazy, too. It's like, next thing you know, you're going to have a Pelosi hammer attack because you made the wrong call.
There have been attempted assaults. And so I don't know what – I mean, I think NFL refs make somewhere around $150 is the minimum.
That's it?
Yeah.
If everyone hated me, I'd want way more money.
I think some of them make quite a bit more. Mm. And they probably have ways to make money other ways, like, you know.
Like, yeah, or rigging the game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think you're right. There's probably the paramount quality in a referee is integrity.
Yeah.
They have an incredible amount of control over a game. And there was officiating 3 weeks ago in a game that was the Seattle Seahawks and the Detroit Lions, which one NFL executive said was the worst officiating in NFL history.
Hmm. Jeez.
And all the calls. Right? That's pretty extreme.
Entire history. Yeah.
They said that the calls all went to Seattle, which by winning eliminated the Lions from playoff contention. And then this is where it gets weird, is because then the next week, the Lions, who cannot make the playoffs, get all the calls to then beat the Green Bay Packers, which then knocked them out of the playoffs.
Oh, interesting.
Which people were like, usually when you're out of playoff contention and in your last game of the year, you have zero incentive to play.
Yeah, why play hard?
Why risk injury? Like, you kind of get a better chance at a better draft pick or lottery pick if you lose. So people were like, why would they beat the Packers at this point when it does them no good? So that's, again, these are just little bits of evidence. We're getting
okay,
to the
okay.
I can see the skepticism on your guys' face.
No, not me, man. I bought in at the title.
Kansas City. Jackass. Kansas City, who was in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Shane, I know you don't understand this.
Okay.
The score was tied.
I understand ties.
The quarterback, the very talented quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, was running down the field out of bounds when a guy tackled him, and they got a late hit call.
Okay.
Which moved them. They might have been in field goal range had he not been hit, but it would have been like a 55 yarder, and it moved them up to like essentially a chip shot.
Okay, and you saw this match.
Yeah, I saw this.
you saw this contest.
Yeah.
So that was like everybody's like, yeah, that was clearly a late hit. But then they go back and they show how many calls they missed on that. Like the Chiefs were essentially holding the Bengals, which is illegal, Shane.
You can't hold them. It's this sign.
No, I think it's this sign. Like kind of like a,
what's the X?
I think that's a not in football.
Oh.
Is that a
isn't there this?
Could be personal foul.
Yeah, what's this?
Oh, yeah, the personal foul.
What's this one?
Oh, that's a technical.
I know the technical.
Yeah, that's kind of a personal foul.
Okay. So I think this is just turning into what Shane doesn't know.
So then, you know, this brings up the point, you know, because when everybody said, well, that was clearly a foul, but now go back and look at all the fouls that they missed on this play, right? Mm-hmm. Or in the drive prior, the quarterback for the Bengals, also very talented, Joe Burrow, he got a late hit on him that they didn't call. And it's like, so some people pointed to the inconsistency of calls. Mm. Like if you're always going to miss a call, fine. But if you call it for one team but not another consistently enough, and it brings up your point. The NFL, the richest sports league in the world, some people in soccer would argue with me, but it has a technology called Sky Judge. Could judge the entire game perfectly.
Well, what are we buying these striped shirts for?
I don't understand it. Why do we have referees in football anymore if we have an artificially intelligent robot that can see everything from the sky, send it upstairs to a team of people watching every part of the field at all times, and make calls and eliminate this? Eliminate the risk of human fallibility.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we like keeping people employed.
Well, what, 18 guys? I mean, it's not a lot of NFL referees.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I still think you have referees. I don't think you. I just think
they probably wouldn't give you anything to talk about.
Oh, like
Monday morning, you're rolling into work. Good game. Yep.
Yep. Perfectly called.
Yeah.
You
got to talk about the blown call.
Right. Yeah, and I think, too, also, like, some people say, like, if you really ever watch the game really closely, like, there's a holding on every play.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah,
it would just be really? Like, yeah. Holding.
It's,
just
not holding. That, it's not that blatant.
It's not a blatant
really
hold
in here, but once you move outside, they're like, okay, that's holding. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
it would decrease the length of the game by, like, 4 more hours, probably.
Yeah. If they call it a really long game already.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think quarterback's probably going to get hit.
Because
you're not holding, you know?
Yeah. Right, you're not holding. He's going to just kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I guess it's a good point that, like, maybe there is the uncertainty of human fallibility that makes it, you know,
gets the people going.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, nobody wants to watch. We've seen the bad AI stand-up videos. No one wants to. I mean, it's funny, right? But we want to see someone actually fail. Not like we don't want to watch a robot fail, because he doesn't have to go back home to his wife and be like, why did I waste my time?
Death threat a robot, you know?
Right, yeah, yeah.
Right? Yeah, but also, don't you think that that some of it is, at least in my head, it seems this way, that, like, you have a play and a penalty have. Oh, here's a good example. Like, you can throw a ball where it's uncatchable, versus when there's like pass interference or defensive pass interference. Yeah. But it's also like, that ball wasn't catchable. Like, I'm throwing it at a receiver, but it's 40 feet above his head. Mm-hmm. That's not the same penalty if it's about to land in his arms.
Correct.
That's, to me, what it seems like. Is like, can't we watch and say that penalty right there would have directly affected the play?
Mm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. Thanks, guys. You guys are real.
Yeah. I'm just thinking. I don't know enough.
Me too.
Yeah.
No, it always got me thinking, like, what if there was, like, some kind of real-time, like, panel of people that are watching it on TV? Giving, like,
they, that's what they
like,
are. They,
shoot something in, and the referee throw it, but then You're going to be throwing a flag 5 seconds after something happens.
No, I think it seems to me like you don't want to destroy the game in terms of its continuity, although, in fairness, the NFL has no continuity. It's constantly stops and starts.
Yeah.
But, like, you want to, like, you want a referee to have an earpiece, and you want people to be like, you want John, you're like, your whole job is to watch for this, right? And then he's like, oh, they missed this. Ring the bell, and it's like, oh, you guys missed this. Like, restart the play or move it five. And I think a lot of these penalties we're talking about would also be canceling. So it's almost like it would be like cornhole, you know, where it's like,
oh, yeah,
four penalties on the Chiefs, three on them. So it's a five, like total, it washes out or whatever. But I think that, like, I think that it's time for the NFL to move on because it would eliminate at least this part of the conspiracy theory.
Sure.
Yeah.
That we want refs with integrity, but they have too much control over what is ultimately a, like, $20 billion business.
Yeah. Does arena football follow the same rules? Like, is there a...
No rules in arena football.
No rules.
Do you not... There was a dude in arena football. You know about the guy that, like, he's, like, the quarterback star of arena football? He threw, like, 7 touchdowns. He stopped, and for his celebration, he fired up a joint.
This is a game. That's camera. What I'm talking about. Like,
that's arena football rules.
That's great. Hell yeah.
Yeah. And they banned him from the league, and then I think they reinstated him because he's so popular.
Yeah, he fucking sold tickets.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the Arena Football League is.
All right, I'll watch that. That sounds great.
Okay, well, now, look, the other part about this is that there have been a couple comments this season where people have thrown the word, bandied about the word script.
Oh,
so Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence said recently that after a miraculous comeback where they were down by what seemed like an insurmountable, I mean, what was it, 21-0 they were down or something crazy? Yeah,
something crazy like
something
that.
Something crazy. He's like, you couldn't have scripted a better finish. And people are like, oh. So that seems like you're saying that, like, this was a script. And it's like, man, you know, like.
But that, okay, so, but we often use that phrase.
Yeah, it could be a stretch.
It could be a stretch, right? Because is there any time where, like, you couldn't have scripted it, and it's like people use that phrase all the time, right? That seems to be, like, taking a little bit of liberties.
Well, hold your horses, because then the Buffalo Bills, which you probably remember, had a player that basically was nearly fatally killed in action on the field.
Oh, last couple months ago?
Yeah, I don't think it was a couple months ago. It was a month ago.
Did y'all see the conspiracies about that?
Well, what was that? I didn't even...
Oh, evidently they say it wasn't him when he came back. Because all the footage... It was, like, suspect. But you can make anything a conspiracy.
Sure, sure.
When they brought him into the stadium, he was in a little, a little side-by-side with, like, windows on it. And he had his mask up here. That's all you saw. But he came up to the door.
Definitely him.
He got out and like surrounded by security. Then he went in the hallway.
Oh, right.
And so when they showed the across shot of him, it's snowing. So you still don't see him.
Right.
And then they have a camera inside the little suite he's in, and it only shows like his back.
Oh,
and so
crazy.
He's like hyping the crowd up. And when he leaves, it's the same thing. It's
interesting. Yeah, that seems sketch for sure. Like
this was at the game where he nearly died.
Yeah, yeah. It was the.
There's no okay. That's super suspect.
It is suspect, but yeah, I mean,
a doctor who he possibly could have a spinal neck injury is going to be like, no, go out there and hype the crowd.
Wait, we're not talking about the other guy, right? The guy that had the heart.
DeMar.
This isn't DeMar Hamlin.
We're talking about him.
I thought that was a different time that he came back. I don't know what team he plays for.
Yeah, he came back,
but it wasn't the same day.
Yeah, he came back to watch.
No, not the same.
No. See, that's the thing. It wasn't the same day.
No.
Oh,
it was like his comeback tour.
Oh, that okay. That's still suspect to me.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought it was, and my wife's a nurse, so she was like, well, maybe he like kind of looks bad from like all the treatment. And he's trying to hide his face.
Yeah, maybe.
Which could make sense. But yeah,
that seems a lot like the NFL was like, we're really losing the battle here on this one. We need to get a.
And I saw it like trending on Twitter, so I, you know, did a little deep dive on it.
Well, this makes perfect sense now that I know that because people said the very first play, so he gets injured. Game canceled, no restart.
Right.
The next play where the Buffalo Bills, they receive a kickoff, and the dude takes it to the house, runs it back. And you're probably like, well, that happens all the time. No, it doesn't.
Didn't he do it twice that game, too?
Yes, it happens.
To not know a lot about football.
I know like exciting things about football.
Wow, what are you, autistic or something?
Someone almost died, or someone made two runs across the field.
Somebody smoked a joint.
I know.
0.6% of kickoff returns are returned for a touchdown.
Oh,
it
wow.
is a very, like, so in other words, 99.4% of kickoffs are not.
But the other team could have been pulling punches, right? It's like when you have like a special but needs kid scripted. They put in, they're like, yeah, just go.
You may be right, where it's like, hey, guys, you're out of the playoffs. This is a kind of a consolation game. Mm. Can we just let this happen?
Yeah.
So that, like, the crowd gets into it. We missed out on a chance to, you know, win this other game that we probably would have won and blah, blah, blah. Can you guys just throw us a bone?
That sounds
like
about
that's
right.
scripted. If that's yeah, true, yeah. that's a scripted thing.
Yeah.
So, again, that's so. What people thought was, okay. was happening.
Okay, I think for scripted, I assume there's story arcs and things like that, which, you know, scripted in this sense is just like, just let us do this one thing. We planned it, but we didn't script it. We just said, but I guess it's different definitions of scripting.
Yeah, yeah. I think anything that's not the result of straight fair play to me is a okay. script.
All right.
And there's a lot of examples, like for Katrina, after Hurricane Katrina, where the city of New Orleans was devastated, people were already saying, like, guarantee you the New Orleans Saints win the Super Bowl the next
and
year.
They did,
and they
right?
did.
Yeah.
The last two teams to build, like, mega stadiums made it all the way to the Super Bowl, and then their new stadium opened up the next year, and people say, like, that's the commissioner saying, if you expand your stadium to hold more seats, which then brings in more revenue for the league, we will help you get – build your fan base up with a successful season going into that.
Holy crap. So I'm on board now. I like it. I want it to be scripted. This is great.
Well, then to make it a really fine point on it, Arian Foster, he came out and he was on a podcast about a week ago, and he just said, yeah, the NFL is rigged. Every player gets a script in your locker prior to the start of the season. And that's what the playbook is. The playbook is literally a script that you get as to what's going to happen in a game. He said, that's what practice is about. It's about practicing the script. It's like WWF. We know what's going to happen, but you still have to put on a show, end quote.
Wow.
Now, a lot of people think he was being sarcastic.
But I mean, honestly.
Tongue in cheek.
Yeah, but if you think about it, they're always, remember how like people are like, oh, they always don't have their pants on in the locker room, their dicks are all out. They probably do that to distract you from the pile of scripts in the corner.
Who distract who?
The reporters.
Ah.
You know, because like.
Really? Is that still a thing? They still walk around there.
I'm sure they do. I don't know.
Hey, yeah, but how can they? There's like so many.
That is true. You'd get.
Canceled pretty quick. Yeah.
Nowadays.
But they used to a lot.
Yeah.
I don't think.
I think it maybe was a way to intimidate a reporter back in the day.
Yeah, what a crazy
like an
thing.
Old school YMCA situation.
Yeah, you know? Totally. Yeah.
I remember going as a youth to the local YMC, riding my bicycle up there, and then going into the locker room. And
a lot
seeing,
of dick in your face.
God. A lot of hogs.
Yeah.
Right. Like, hogs, yeah, the guys like to
that's
put
crazy.
A leg up on a bench right in front of you.
That's how they used to do it.
No wonder I don't
I
like football.
I wonder if they still do that. I wonder if they still do that.
They probably do.
I don't go to the gym locker at my Y now. But when I used to go to the gym locker, that the main one in Raleigh, I mean it was like creep city in there.
Yeah. I guess that explains why you laugh at that joke that I have so hard.
I do. Laugh
at that every time I tell that joke, I hear you on camera just cracking up.
Yeah, it's so funny because it was a lot. Because you would go to the gym, you go to the Y, and you come back, you worked out for like an hour or two, and you come back, and it's the same guy still naked in the gym. Yeah. And you're like, what the. What are you working out on, man? Yeah, nothing. Like, you know, so.
Just walking around naked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so. gross. Now, let me just say this. Foster, not the first NFL player to make such a charge.
Mm.
2020, Benny Cunningham says, quote, the NFL is scripted, but they make us sign something so we can't go into detail. Tired of holding back. Who wants the full story?
Wow.
By the way, he was never gave the full story.
Yeah, because he signed an NDA.
He signed an NDA.
The fact that he didn't know that was a call, it's called. Yeah. That's probably a big
we
problem.
We signed this thing. I don't know what
like
it's
paper.
Called.
I don't know. They said, you can't say anything. I believed him.
And then Larry Johnson, who was, by the way, a great Chiefs running back, because Cunningham got a lot of flack for saying this. So did Arian Foster. many people came to Foster's defense and say he's joking about it being scripted.
Right.
But Johnson said, he tweeted, he's like, at the end of every game, this has been a presentation. Mm. And then he likened football to the Truman Show.
Oh, crazy.
Mm. So he's like, yeah, good movie. Like, y'all believe this, you're just living in a fantasy world. It's not real.
Wow.
So, so there's not, so we have these weird officiating things, which now, thanks to technology, we can clearly see when officiating sort of seems very lopsided. Mm-hmm. It begs the question, why don't we have, you know, use SkyJudge or the other technology available to eliminate these sort of poor moments of officiating? Mm-hmm. We've got all these like weird moments where the NFL seems to have fantastical results with Katrina and then the Saints win. And there seems to be these like storylines, as you call them, that make sense if you're scripting something. And now we have players, or we've had players in the last 5 years come out and say, it's all a script.
Wow.
It's all planned out. And now it to me, the question becomes like, why would they do this? Oh, there's one more player. I got to read one more quote. Okay. Just because his name's cool. Vontaze Burfict. You ever heard
of him? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He says, I honestly think some of the games are rigged. The refs pick and choose when they want to throw the flag. There are flags on every play. The refs determine the outcomes of games. And every time a player has done this, Goodell has come out hard. He's the commissioner.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And pushed back on these claims.
Because he doesn't want that out.
But here's the crazy thing. Do you remember the Spygate with the New England Patriots?
Oh,
yes.
That's not Deflategate, right?
I'm so sorry.
That's all right. That's not Deflategate?
No, the Patriots cheat a lot.
Oh, okay.
That's my favorite team.
Yeah, they're like the most American. They cheat.
Yeah, they cheat. you know, after 9/11, they won the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, because their name.
The Patriots.
That makes sense.
Patriotic. Yeah.
Crazy, which is crazy because honestly, Al Qaeda won that round.
That's hilarious. Oh, the Texas terrorists win the Super Bowl. Okay, so the Patriots got caught in what was called Spygate, which was I'm a Patriots fan. That's my my disclaimer up front. They got caught recording other teams, and then they got caught again. But people made it seem like they were like secretly recording. They were recording on the sidelines during a game. So like, and then they were using that footage in halftime to like make changes.
Right.
Well, that seems legal. Why not?
Well, because it was illegal.
Oh,
but people,
you're dying. Man, we got to go back to dry January for sure.
God. I think Goodell put something in your beer.
Yeah, right?
God, okay.
No, should have had I'm a fine. Todo el tiempo.
Yeah. Jeez. Cut that out. So what happened was is that they were filming these things, and they weren't allowed to use it during halftime. And then they were like, well, then we'll just film and not use it during halftime. And they were like, no, that's not what we meant. We meant stop filming.
Oh, okay.
So what they said is, stop filming and using it during halftime. Mm. They're like, oh, well, we'll keep filming and not using it during halftime. Yeah. It's like my kids, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we didn't use it during halftime, so we thought it'd be okay. So that was Spygate. I don't know what they got penalized. It was, you know.
Didn't they have like draft picks or something?
Yeah, it was something. And Deflategate was when they like, you know, the dude was letting the ball air out of the balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That whole thing was kind of, I mean, I think that game they won. It was like raining or something.
Yeah, it was cold and raining, and there's the ideal gas throw the ball. Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Rain the ball like down the other team.
It was because like then the NFL, like the next year, they were going to study ball PSI and different weather temperature to just sort of see if they had gotten the right decision. Hmm. And then someone was like, what happened to all that data? And he's like, yeah, I threw it out. We destroyed it.
Yeah, because
they realized they were wrong.
Yeah.
But the outshoot of the 2007 Spygate was that a fan of maybe the Jets sued the NFL. Some fan sued the NFL on behalf of everyone who had gone to games against the Patriots and paid for tickets when the Patriots cheated. The idea is that, like, it was a fraudulent game. Mm-hmm. I think it was more of just like a sort of angry, jilted fan because everyone hates the Patriots. Mm-hmm. And maybe they saw it as like a money grab.
Are there a lot of Jets? You said Jets? Are there a lot of Jets fans?
No, they're pretty losers.
Well, that's good, though, because then they get more in the class action, right? It's like if you're part of the Browns and you sue, you get all of
them. I represent all six Jets fans who've been cheated out of our... Yeah, no, there's a lot of Jets fans.
Yeah, there's probably a lot, right?
But the Patriots are just hated. They've been hated.
Yeah. Mm. It's almost like an unfair hatred. I mean, I don't love them, but you got to be fair on certain things. Like, I think it was the Colts. I want to say it was the Colts or the Atlanta Falcons that were pumping fake crowd noise.
Oh, that's really? That's a big deal now.
That's genius.
Through their speakers. You're not supposed to do that. And they
the Seahawks
caught.
Stadium.
The media really didn't talk about it too much.
Yeah.
Wow.
The Seahawks Stadium was built by one of the Apple or IBM guys that like kind of cashed out. Mm. And you've never heard his name, but he's a big Seahawks fan. So he built this stadium. And they had an acoustic engineer design it so it echoes the stadium noise.
Oh, it's super loud.
And it's like off the charts loud.
Wow. It's the second loudest stadium, I think.
Yeah.
I went to the museum in Seattle where you can go into a booth and then you have to communicate outside the booth, like read a thing while they're pumping crowd noise.
Oh, man.
You're literally screaming at the top of your lungs to get somebody. You know, 6 feet away from you to hear.
Isn't that nuts?
It was so loud in there.
Yeah, like I always heard when they talk about college quarterbacks coming to the NFL, they'll often talk about their voice. Mm. Like, what was the Colts quarterback that quit early?
Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck, like, quit kind of in his prime, and he was like, I'm tired of getting the shit beat out of me.
Yeah, makes sense.
But I already said he had a perfect voice. Like in crowd noise, his voice
is very deep.
Very deep. It carried through the crowd noise really well.
Deep is good for crowds?
I think it's better than
high pitch.
I think
the voice carries more.
It carries, it booms, you know.
Oh, weird. Because I did a show recently, and there was so much bass, someone couldn't hear me. They had to move to a different part of the room to hear me.
Because there was so much bass? Not in your voice.
Yeah, in my voice. Compared to the other.
Your voice is
bass. Man, I'm so bassy. Oh, I'm busy.
Giddy up, boom, bop, boom, bop, bop.
No, it was weird because but I always thought I know bass I know lower frequencies travel farther, but I didn't think they were as easy to pick up.
Huh? Hmm. I didn't. Well, anyway,
who knows? I don't know.
So they go to court over Spygate, and the guy's like, "I've been cheated out of these games," and the NFL put forth the most bizarre argument. They said, "We are not a sports league. We're an entertainment league. We can do whatever we want. We can put anything on the field that we want. And our fans, when you buy a ticket, you have no rights to see a fair contest."
Wow.
They declare that they are not a sport league. So like college football is defined as a sports business. Mm. They are a sports entertainment business. The only other two professional sports entertainment businesses in the United States of America are WWF, wrestling.
Or E, I guess it is.
And WWE now, and roller derby.
Crazy.
The other two leagues that have a scripted winner, and, you know, wrestling doesn't really look real to me, but plenty of people go in, and at least they suspend disbelief and pretend for a second that, like, the outcome of this match...
I lost a lot of money on roller derby. I'm pissed now.
Yeah. I mean, you thought roller derby.
No, I'm joking.
I thought roller derby was real for a long time.
I assumed it was, like, real, but they would... I know the fighting and stuff is real enough, because I know people that have roller derby and they got their shit beat out of them.
Yeah, I think it's blood. Blood is a... really fools people.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was doing a skit with somebody at a summer camp, and the whole gimmick is, like, I stood with these plates in front of, like, a white sheet, and behind them was a guy with a hammer.
Mm.
And he had a fake gun, and he was a trick shooter, so he would, like, throw it up in the air, and then the hammer would hit the plate behind the thing, and it would explode. And it looked really good. Mm-hmm. Like, people thought the guy could really shoot. And one time, a fragment of the plate grazed my nose and, like, just you know, like just a surface cut on your face?
It just bleeds like hell.
And blood was coming down. And when I got done, I walked up and I was like, you just grazed me with a bullet today. And people, he was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. People thought, for like, dude, you're so brave to hold that there while he fired. I'm like, how fucking dumb are you people?
Yeah, you dumb.
You're so stupid. But no, it's just a little blood, and people are like, that's not fake. Who fakes blood? I'm like, it didn't hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's like we've talked about Cactus Jack on here before, but Mick Foley, he wrestled in Japan, and he would like do the craziest shit, but they still do it. All wrestlers a lot of times do this. They'll just use a razor blade and slice their forehead. So they'll just bleed. And so if you see a wrestler bleeding in the ring, they cause that to themselves. They took a razor blade, just sliced themselves up, and they bleed like a stuck pig. It's all crazy.
Right. Quick update on the Hop Fly Brewing.
It's good.
It's very good. I'm switching over to Goat Time.
I love goats.
Smoked Pilsner.
Ooh, a smoked Pilsner.
I like a Pilsner. I'm kind of moving away from IPAs.
Yeah.
I have had
kind of started enjoying the West Coast IPAs.
I like a West Coast.
It's a good break from all the lactose.
Yeah, it's a great, that's what I, yeah.
Wait, what? There's milk in IPAs?
A lot of the hazies have hazy, lactose
that,
in
like
it.
That really.
Oh, man. The
big juice bomb.
I've been trying to be a vegan like for feet. Like 3 years, and those are the only ones I buy.
Your whole life's a lie.
I know. Oh, son man. Of a bitch. That's well, right. They're delicious.
I want
to turn a blind eye to it.
Yeah, right.
I want to put forth a theory that will maybe because let me be honest. I looked at all this and like all conspiracies, you try to break it down and be like, one, this seems really hard to pull off.
Yeah,
like any kind of league wide conspiracy seems highly problematic.
Mm-hmm.
If for no other reason than the sports. Betting problem.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like,
a lot of people are going to lose a lot of money off of something.
Fake. Yeah. And bookies, yeah. Ironically, bookies want fair games because it really screws them over if games are rigged, unless they're doing the rigging.
Right. Yeah. If they're not in the know. Yeah.
If they're in the know, then it's fine. But if somehow the NFL had sort of, and I guess maybe one would say, well, but they adjust the odds based on the betting and everything. But if a game is rigged, I do think that the sports betting would not happen. And it's a multi-billion-dollar industry. Mm-hmm. So I was like, how would this work? And so I was like, well, let me look at the money situation. And that's where it starts to make some sense to me. The NFL has the most unique revenue sharing structure of any major league sports team. Because 75% of all your revenue goes back to the league and is redistributed evenly. Whereas, like, the NBA, it's 50%. For baseball, it's a third. So you keep 70% or 66%. Is that right? Yeah, you give a 33% back to the league, and then that gets redistributed.
Okay.
What does that mean practically? What it means is that you have an incentive as a losing team to still support the script, because if everyone wants the Chiefs to win, if the Chiefs versus the Eagles is the matchup that's going to bring in the most revenue, you benefit by losing.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right. Like, it's beneficial. It can be very beneficial economically for you to lose. Mm-hmm. The primary way that the NFL makes like $20 billion is through TV contracts. They make money through TV contracts, ticket seats, and beverages and food, mm-hmm. and then licensing deals. But surprisingly, like the ticket seats is not that much. It's only like about $10 million per.
You say
per,
ticket fees?
I'm saying
ticket seats.
70,000 seats is the average NFL stadium. Okay. $151 is the average ticket. Okay. It's like $10 million to sell it out. There's a lot of money in parking and in food and beverage and all that. But it pales in comparison to the billions in TV revenue. Mm-hmm. So in some ways, the entire 32 league, maybe with the exception of the Green Bay Packers, are all incentivized to have the Super Bowl that is the most watched Super Bowl.
Mm. Mm.
Does that make sense? So like, you know, like when you think about, well, why would teams go along with this? Well, because it's owned by 32 people that are the richest people in the world.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone that owns an NFL league, with the exception of the Packers, is a billionaire. Mm-hmm. And when you think about the money situation, it's like, wow, well, then maybe there is, right? I mean, maybe you say to teams, you're like, here's the script. You're going to have a really bad season. Mm-hmm. However, right, we're going to make sure that you get a draft pick and that we
can. Right. That's what I was just going to ask. Like, how's the draft work then?
If you say to somebody, look, your stadium is the smallest in the league, so you're not bringing in as much money for people for ticket seats, and you're bad, so you're hurting us in terms of revenue. Build a bigger stadium. We'll help you improve your team. We'll get you the script. We'll get you the people. We'll get you the draft picks, and that'll bring the revenue back up.
Wow.
And then everyone in the league has an incentive to do that, not just that team. Everyone does.
Hmm.
And so when you look at, like, I looked at a deep analysis of 2015 margins of victory, and, like, essentially, they rarely see an NFL blowout anymore.
No, yeah.
Games are close. Now, why are games close? Because when games are close, people watch the entire game.
Correct, yeah.
Right? Think about, like, I remember when NFL games could be, like, especially Super Bowl games, were boring at times.
Oh, really?
Where, like, you turned them off after the first quarter because you're like, game's over, right? Like, it's...
Hmm.
But improbable comebacks, right? Mm-hmm. Games that come down to the wire, a field goal winning it, overtime. The margin of victory at games right now is the lowest it's been almost in the entire NFL history over this past decade.
And that's not due to steroids.
Well, I mean, I don't...
If everybody's maybe, rocking, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to...
But it also seems like another way of saying it is that the parity in the league is the best it's ever been.
Right.
But is that by design? Because if television is where your money is made, you benefit from having really close games that people don't want to turn off.
Crazy.
And that makes the most sense to me. That, like, I don't know that, like, the winner of games are scripted, but is the competitiveness and the closeness of games scripted? Like, do they want things to come down to, like, last-minute calls? And maybe you're right. Maybe bad officiating just leads to more conversation. Maybe it's just more people talking.
Mm-hmm.
The end, I don't know that, like Arian Foster said, that a script gets placed in your locker and you're like, hey, here's your playbook, and it literally is like, in season, you know, game four, you're going to tear your...
That could just be he just doesn't know what the definition of a script is. It was literally a playbook. He's like, man, this script's got plays in it. Yeah, that's it's like high school.
Yeah.
Right. Someone, play, there's scripts.
Somebody left Hamlet in his life.
Yeah.
He's like, man, mid-season, the guy's going to kill his father during the game. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's the not quarterback yells, boil, toil in trouble. You're like, what the fuck is this script?
But you can see how, like from the beginning of a season, oftentimes there's these heroes and villains and they like
crazy.
Burrow and Mahomes, who were playing in the game last weekend or 2 weekends ago. I mean, they're the kind of up and coming quarterback rivalry that they're trying to sort of build into this storyline.
Yeah,
and that, I guess, that just makes sense to me. That's what an entertainment league does.
Sure.
How do you make the most entertaining league? Close games. Deep rivalries, and when it comes down to it, a little messed up officiating gets us more Twitter, more social media,
right,
more talk, and that just leads to more revenue.
They're just the fall guys to distract you from what's happening behind the scenes. You're like, oh, those dumb refs keep screwing everything up. And it's like, well, actually, if only you knew and listened to this podcast.
This podcast that no sports fans listen to.
Sure we got some.
Look, I think that makes us have more integrity in this.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't really care who's going to win. I can tell you who's going to win. It's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. I would bet any amount of money on that.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I've looked at the scripting, and I see, you know.
Well, how come more
what's
people?
What's the big storyline?
Yeah, exactly.
What's the end goal? What do you think?
I think it's that the league benefits when there is a dominant quarterback who is both loved and detested for his success. So and they need a rival. Tom Brady, you know, so Tom Brady had a rivalry with Peyton Manning. Once Manning quit, you know, Brady was sort of, you know, the lone quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron Rodgers has had his own struggles, and he's sort of fallen out of favor. They need a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes to come along, who is like sort of this ascendant player in the league. Joe Burrows, who is the Cincinnati Bengals quarterback, will continue to play the foil for him and will occasionally beat him, and it'll be this great rivalry. But I think that's the story. I think it's the passing of the guard to Mahomes is like the next big quarterback in the league. And I think they're just going to replay that whole Tom Brady's, you know, I don't know if Mahomes will get six rings, but he'll get a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really bet on, when I bet on the Super Bowl, I bet prop bets.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my kid, I let my kids do one prop bet each, and they're really fucking good at them. My daughter's really good at them.
Really?
Yeah. She doesn't know what she's doing. She just hears them, and she's just like, yeah, that's not going to happen. I'll that. You know.
She's got good intuition.
Yeah. So each one of my kids gets like 20 bucks, and they can bet on any prop bet, which usually pay like 30 to 1 or something. So
oh, nice.
I mean, not that much, 10 to 1. They've each won like 100-plus bucks every Super Bowl for the last few years.
Dude, I got to hang out with them. I need a PlayStation.
It's not, I mean, like, prop bets are, you can do a prop bet. You don't have to know anything.
Oh, where do
the prop bet's like if Patrick Mahomes throws for 300 yards.
Yeah, or it's like
right?
The
Star Spangled Banner lasts longer than 3 minutes.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We do that at our Super Bowl party at our house.
Nice.
We
hand out sheets, and
yeah. The
winner gets a pat on the back.
Actually,
I think we put like, some dollars.
Okay, I was going to say.
$2 in a bowl.
Well, there's
nothing like a pat on the back for a gambler.
Somewhat illegal, but still legal online prop bet site. You can place these bets, and they'll pay out.
Nice
if you win.
Hmm.
So, I mean, just some fun. Adds a little fun to the game.
Yeah, makes it more fun to watch.
Yeah,
because especially if you don't care about sports, it kind of gives you a reason to care.
Right.
You know? Maybe I should be a gambler. Maybe that's what I'm like. I don't like my job. Maybe I should just be a gambler full time. Lose my shit.
No, I mean it's very lucrative
money.
Sell your car.
Yeah.
Your wife. Yeah. Do it all.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think it's I'm convinced the Kansas City Chiefs, after doing all this research, everything.
But if you look back at the bets that people have made over the years, shouldn't there be plenty of people like you that already know this and they win big every year because they see where it's going?
Well, the answer is perhaps, but for every one of me, there's 10 just idiots who care about this. I don't care about it. It's my thing. So I feel like I'm able to look at it objectively and see that there has been this season, like the NFL is constantly trying to stay ahead of its reality, which is that it's a very dangerous sport.
Mm-hmm.
That very young players who've never had any sort of, you know, concussion protocol enacted.
Yeah.
That when they've looked at their brains, they're like, you have major brain damage.
Yeah, well, that sucks for, like, just entertainment then. That's horrible.
It's they can't let people in on that, so they have to
keep it up,
They have to stay in front of it with a feel-good story. And honestly, the Eagles, everybody fucking hates the Eagles because their fan base are such a bunch of dicks.
Are they?
I mean, like...
They're the worst.
They're the worst fan base in the entire league.
Philly, I guess the whole city of Philly, like all their sports teams.
Yeah, they're really
they boo everything.
Oh, really? You
know? Yeah, they boo everything.
They're the ones that Bill Burr just made fun of for, like, you know, the famous Bill Burr.
Yeah,
like, he's just making...
Famous Philly rant.
That's they're the worst.
Why are they so angry? I mean, Philly does look kind of like a sad place. If anybody's listens that's from Philly, let us know what's going on in Philly.
Yeah, we're not talking about you specifically. We're just talking about all of your people who live around you.
Yeah.
I think they're just rabid. They're kind of like, I'm an NC State fan. They're kind of like NC State fans, like just a lot of bad beats and a lot of just down on your luck, overlooked.
Mm.
So,
interesting.
I mean, I don't think that's gonna help the league push through what it was essentially like a PR nightmare with what's happened this season and all the stuff. And that's what I think that they ultimately want.
They're good at hiding their dirt too, NFL.
They're very good at it because the 31 owners are so wealthy, and if you're in there, you're like, whatever it takes to keep the cash, you know, the golden goose laying the egg, I don't care. If that means it's scripted so the Chiefs win another one. Mm-hmm. Again, remember, I still make money if the Chiefs win, and it's a huge story.
Right, right.
Make it a close game, and then I'll be happy and bring in a ton of revenue.
Are the Eagles good?
Yeah, their defense is pretty stellar.
Okay,
yeah,
so they
good quarterback.
What would be the reasoning of them making the Eagles good and in the Super Bowl if everybody hates them? Just because everyone hates them?
Oh, yeah, because any great tragedy needs a great villain. The Patriots essentially were a villain for their run, even though they won. It's like a villainous, you know, it's like the dark side of the force has, you know, they had three movies.
The Patriots?
No, when the dark side was in charge.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I was like, I'm really out of football.
Yeah.
Football. I was like, I heard of Rudy, but that's not one of them.
Yeah. I mean, I think you have a team that people want to win. You have a team that people want to lose, you know, that's hated, you know, that transcends this sort of the regional world of football.
Like, so you think the Eagles will probably almost win just because it'll piss people off so much, and then the Chiefs will come out on top?
I think that the Chiefs will win. I think that it'll be a close game and that a controversial call will be pivotal in the fourth quarter or late into the game.
Crazy.
That's my prediction for the Super Bowl. But I'll look at the spread, and if it's really like if it's even money, I'll bet on the Chiefs as my prop bet. I only bet 20. I'm like with my kids. I don't really.
Is that like are you supposed to do like when you buy an engagement ring, you're supposed to spend 3 months of your salary? Is that what you're doing on this?
That's like it's like 6 months of salary on this pod, right?
Yeah, 20 bucks.
Yeah, we're hemorrhaging money. Here. Patreon, you idiots. No, that's what I think. Final thought on the game, the Super Bowl game. Mm-hmm. And also, if you watch the Super Bowl and you're like, I'm just here for the commercials, then you have bought in the Truman Show more than anybody else.
Oh, sure. Yeah. The commercials have been trash.
They're trash.
They're so bad.
Yeah.
They're absolute terrible trash. And that's what my wife's like. I just want to watch the commercials. And I'm like, well, fuck you.
Yeah, last time I was excited about the commercials was when the Dodge Neon came out. It was like 1994.
Yeah.
It was like they kept doing a reveal. There's like a cute little headlights, and it was a green car. It had a smile. And I was like, I just want to see this ad for this car. And then I saw it, and I was like, this is a bullshit car. I waited fucking 4 months to see this fucking car.
Yeah. I can't stand the commercials anymore.
Yeah.
I feel like okay. Anyway.
Yeah, okay. So my final thought is I think I like football now.
Oh, because it's scripted now.
Yeah, because I like wrestling. I like plays and theater. I'm in. Because I always like the NFL films because they make it like a fucking movie and they got the soundtrack.
That guy's voice is great.
He's the best.
Yeah, why isn't that guy doing play-by-play? He's probably terrible at it.
Or he's dead.
Well, still, but when he was alive,
yeah.
He probably was... could not read except from a script.
Right, that's true, yeah.
He couldn't have do it live.
Yeah. Like the 1976, is it 76 or 77 Steelers NFL films? I remember Steelers were it when I was a kid. And I just loved watching that stuff, and that was cool to me. And now I'm like...
drums.
Yeah. Dun,
dun, dun, dun. Yeah, they would show that just fans and like the cold snow blowing across their face, slow motion with the towels. And he's and the Steelers faithful buckled in for what would be a defensive battle. And it's just like... It's so good.
Poetry over sports.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I love this. I hope it's scripted, not for like the brain damage and stuff. That sucks. But maybe
it's scripted to hide the brain damage.
What if the brain damage is scripted?
Oh, that's...
Oh, shit.
Man, that's a double secret.
Yeah, whammy. I prefer it to be that way, but it's probably not true.
Double reverse card there.
Yeah, that's what that is. Quattro. Okay.
We've converted you to a sports fan.
Yeah, I'm going to watch sports. I'm going to watch football. I'm gonna be a real boy.
Awesome, man.
Yeah. So yeah, I hope it's scripted, and I'm gonna fucking put money on it. I'm gonna prop bet the shit out of this.
Dude, prop bets are so much fun.
Oh, they're fun. Yeah, it's good time.
Yeah, I would definitely if you want to have some fun and you're listening and you're like, I don't really like sports, the prop bets are. Look, my 9-year-old can understand them.
Great, perfect. That's my level of intelligence.
Total number of points scored in the first quarter.
Cool.
So, okay, I can do that.
And it,
less than 14 or more than 14. Or
okay,
like
I was
that.
Gonna say because some people don't know that it's sevens and threes.
Oh no, yeah. No,
and they'll be like, I just missed the numbers completely. On
yeah,
this one.
It's yeah.
Okay.
And you can do three of them and parlay it, and kind of then you can really make some.
Yeah, well, all right.
So
cool.
All right, Matt, you got a final prediction thought. For the game or thought on the
it
whole?
It really gets me thinking. You know, back in 2015 Super Bowl, I'm a big Carolina Panthers fan.
Yes, that was
a lot of chatter going on because the hero was Peyton Manning. He couldn't even throw over 40 yards. His shoulder was messed up, and you know they had a great defense. If you go back and look at the mic'd ups from that Super Bowl, there was a missed field goal where a guy was blatantly like 2 yards
over
the line, and they missed a field goal. And then the referee was watching the play. The guy, I think it was Josh Norman, went running up to the ref. He's like, you didn't see? Like, he was 2 yards, and the referee just looked at him and just walked away. Didn't respond. And then Jericho Cotri catch. I think it was the first series or second series. Cam Newton threw to Jericho Cotri. He caught it.
That's an interesting state grab, by the way, Jericho Cotri. Yeah, great.
He rolled over. Ball never touched the ground, and they said it wasn't a catch.
Wasn't a catch, right.
Went back and reviewed it. Still said it wasn't a catch. Very
really?
Nice play. Von Miller sacked Cam Newton for I think it was a touchdown. The ball came loose.
Came loose and he recovered it.
Yeah recovered it. Touchdown. It was definitely, it felt like we need Peyton Manning to win the Super Bowl and then he's out. Felt that way, but.
Yeah. It did feel that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that 2015 is the, and we'll link it on our patron page and our Discord, but 2015 was the scores, margin of victories, and point totals were so anomalous from a statistical standpoint that this statistician did an entire deep dive on 2015, and it is fascinating.
Wow!
Because essentially he's like, something's wrong here. You know, it's like whenever you look at gambling and there's something weird that spikes out at you, is like being off kilter for in terms of what's normal. So he thinks, if nothing else, 2015 was a rigged year.
Crazy.
From a statistician's standpoint.
And it does, like, if it is scripted, it just seemed like a very hard script to pull off. There's so many people on one team.
Yeah, so many moving parts.
All
right?
These players. I know. I forgot the referee's name. I did a little research on it.
Ed Hotch.
NBA. He's an NBA ref. Oh. And when he got locked up for like rigging games, he said, "You let me know who's officiating the game in prison." They were like watching it on the TV. Like, "You let me know the ref, and I'll let you know who's gonna win."
Holy shit!
Because like there is a lot of, you can't really explain the calling of NBA. Like, it's real, real tight,
right.
And it's real, real loose. And it's real, real tight, and it's real, real loose. So
right.
It almost makes you think that, you know, even in the NBA, they can kind of keep it kind of close.
Yeah.
Some of the fouls, you're like, that was even near them.
You're right.
There's a
real famous one recently where like, time's running out, and the guy, like, kind of, I mean, literally, like, it's like a second left on the clock, and the guy picks the ball up and is just like, yeah, and he calls traveling.
Really?
Gives the other team, they score a point, and that beats the spread, and people are like, you've got to be kidding me.
That's
I think
crazy.
It's all, like, whether there's some officials that know the script, and there's some, I'm right. You can't have 80 people on 32 teams be in on it.
Be quiet.
But you have to, but there are, you know, and maybe the people that have come out and said, like, yeah, it's all scripted, or people that have been asked to play key roles.
Right, yeah. Because you don't, most of the people on a team don't need to know anything. They're just
just
go
play
stand
the game.
Here.
They wanna, right. No, you don't want that. But you may have to ask certain people
right
at certain times to say, here's what we need you to do.
Wild. Yeah, I believe it, man. This is crazy.
Well, there we have it. Well, it's been an interesting one, but we don't want to get out of here without asking you where our fans and listeners can follow you on the socials or.
Oh, follow me on Instagram at Matt Dameron Comedy. Do post a lot of crowd work clips up there and sketch comedy. Love sketch comedy. Love writing it, performing it. So, yeah, I got some sketches up there. And Matt Dameron Comedy.
Awesome.
Hell yeah.
And check him out if you can ever see one of his shows. They're always really good.
Always good.
It's a great time.
We really thank you, one, for coming on the show, but also for helping us secure our beer sponsor.
Yeah, dude, that's great.
Austin, Austin at High Fly. He was super stoked.
Hell yeah.
Like, Oh, yeah. Let me get it approved by the big guy.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, we will drink it responsibly. And promote it irresponsibly.
Yeah, exactly.
But we love it. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening. This has been Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin.
I'm Shane, and this was
Conspiracy Beer Me. I was checked out.
No. Say your name.
Oh, Matt Dameron.
Perfect.
I definitely checked out.
That's okay.
I'm all over the road.
Peace.
It happens every time.
Almost
like a running joke at this point.
Oh, that's great.